I knew that Mike would not be satisfied if I didn't wear my blue boots. I've taken a lot of ribbon about them, but I still intend to continue to wear them. Somebody asked me when I got them, "Where did you get those blue boots?" I said, "I'll tell you if you promise faithfully that you'll not tell anybody." And they said, "Okay." I said, "Porter left them in Dolly's dressing room and she gave them to me." I appreciate the kind things that Connie has said, and as Brother Roy Cogdell would have said, it's mucilage. We've known each other a long time, and as he said, we've been the best of friends. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote the church at Corinth and dealt with the matter of spiritual gifts, he concluded after three chapters by saying, "Let all things be done decently and in order." God has always had an order for whatever He did. He is a God of order. In the Old Testament, we find that people have always opposed God's order. That's nothing new. When you look at the Old Testament, when God called Moses to lead His people, Israel, out of Egyptian bondage, it wasn't long until somebody rose up against Moses. Kor, Dathan, and Abiram, and 250 princes of Israel opposed him, and as a result, God opened up the earth and swallowed them up. Later, as the children of Israel were in the land of Canaan, they came to Samuel and said, "Make us a king to be like the nations round about us." God said when Samuel approached him, "They have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me that I should not be king over them." We all remember how that God gave the pattern for the ark to Moses, and one of the things about that pattern was that there were rings put in or on the corners of that ark for staves to be put through those rings and it to be carried on the shoulders of people. God specified in Numbers 4 that the sons of Kohath were to bear that ark, but they were not to touch that ark. We remember how that in a time that David proceeded to bring that ark back to Jerusalem, and it was on a cart, and at Nathan's threshing floor, the oxen stumbled. Uzzah put forth his hand to steady the ark, and God struck him dead. This gives us an indication of how God views people who do not respect His order. David made the statement that we did not seek Him after the due order. There was a due order for the moving of the ark. Concerning our topic this morning, we need to understand that there in the New Testament, despite all that brethren have written, said about the rule of elders and that they rule by example only, we need to understand that there are some verses in the New Testament that when they get through saying whatever they want to say about it, that there is a over-under relationship with somebody. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood." In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, The writer said, remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith followed, considering the end of their conversation. In Hebrews 13 and verse 17, he says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they may give an account, that they may do so with joy, not with grief, for that's unprofitable to you. In Hebrews 13, verse 24, says, salute them that have the rule over you. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, Peter said, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight of thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12, Paul says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. The idea that elders rule besides by example has been fostered by some brethren as being tyrannical, despotic in their rule. Brethren generally over the years have rejected that concept and have so stated. You take as far back as 1942 down at Nashville in the tabernacle meetings. Brother N.B. Hardeman said, now let it be understood that elders should never be dogmatic nor arbitrary. In the 1982 Florida College Lectures, Brother J. Ed Nolan quoted that and gave endorsement to that. Brother Collie Caldwell said, if elders see their function as institutional executives or business managers, they have missed the point of their service in the Lord's body. I wrote in Walking in Truth a number of years ago, New Testament elders are not lords, tyrants, or despots. If and when they ever become such, they cease to be New Testament elders and should be removed by the congregation. The congregation has no obligation to obey such men. Peter said elders were not lords over God's heritage, 1 Peter 5:3. Of the word Lord, Thayer says, to hold in subjection, to be master of, exercise lordship over. Mac Knight says that this is a strong word denoting the tyranny which men of this world often exercise when they have obtained offices of power. I also wrote in Walking in Truth, the Bible teaches that elders are to rule the flock of God. Elders are to take the oversight of the flock, but that does not give them the right of tyrannical rule. Peter said elders are not to be lords over God's heritage. Of the Greek word lord, Thayer says, to hold in subjection, to be a master, to exercise lordship. Vine says, of the evil elders, lording it over the saints under the spiritual care. When elders make decision without the consideration being given to the congregation, they're simply headed for trouble. When elders think that they can make decisions and regardless of what it is, the church must accept it and have the attitude that Peter said they must not have. The congregation selected them to serve as elders, and if they get to be lords, the congregation has responsibility to select to withdraw them out of the eldership. Over 60 years ago, Brother E.R. Harper said, of course we understand that they're not to rule as lords over God's heritage. For Peter says in 1 Peter 5:2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being example to the flock. This shows plainly that you're not bosses in the sense of a Stalin or a Pope that the church must bow to your every demand regardless. Brother Mike Willis, in an article in Truth Magazine, said several years ago, in discussion with Brother Dale Smelter, he said, "I concur with him in objecting to rule of elders or business meetings that is lordy, tyrannical, dictatorial. On this, we are agreed." Brother Tom Roberts said in Truth Magazine in a debate with a fellow, "Elders are not to lord it over the flock, nor act as Gentile masters. But there is legitimate oversight, else words have no meaning and not to be abused." Brother Roy Cogdill said, "They have the rule of the church committed to their hands by the Holy Spirit. It must not be done by their own arbitrary will or by lording it over the church. But God has committed them to the oversight of the flock and charged them with the responsibility of directing the affairs in harmony with His will. Arbitrary, dictatorial, and tyrannical authority breeds rebellion in addition to being unchristian. Elders who want to make every little decision without taking into consideration the preferences, judgments, and counsel of others are not fit to be elders." These are just some of the statements that over the years that brethren have made that shows that brethren generally understood that elders were not to be despots, tyrannical rulers, and overlords over the congregation. Now, that does not mean that you could not find an example here and there of such, because I'm sure that there have been elders that when they were put in the eldership, that they're kind of like a fellow that's made a policeman. You put a badge on his shoulder and a pistol on his hip, and it affects his mind. And there's a lot of men that have been made elders, I'm sure, over the years, that when they were made elders, that they felt like they had the authority to do whatever they wanted to, and the congregation had no right to even question or observe what they were doing. In the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul called the Ephesian elders to meet him at the seacoast town of Miletus. And in verse 17, they're called elders. In verse 28, they're called bishops and are said to feed or the pastor the flock of God. All three of these words are used in this context interchangeably. Of the term elder, of the Greek word translated elder, Thayer says, "Elders used of age where two persons are spoken of the elder, and it means advanced in life, an elder, a senior, a term or rank of office, such as borne by among the Jews, members of the great council or the Sanhedrin. Among Christians, those who presided over the assemblies for churches." And he goes on to say that they did not differ at all from the bishops or overseers, is evident from the fact that the two words are used indiscriminately. Vine says essentially the same thing that Thayer does. He says that in the Christian churches, those who, being raised up and qualified by the work of the Holy Spirit, were appointed to have the spiritual care of and to exercise oversight over the churches. The divine arrangement seen through the New Testament was for a plurality of these to be appointed in each church. Of the word bishop, Thayer says that that means an overseer, a man charged with the duty of seeing that things are done by others are done rightly. Any curator, guardian, or superintendent. Hence in the New Testament, guardian of souls, one who watches over the welfare, specifically the superintendent, the head, the overseer of any Christian church. Inherent in the word bishop is the idea of seeing that things to be done or done by others is done rightly. This means that if they're not done rightly, it's the bishop's responsibility to correct the way they're being done, and the Holy Spirit has authorized elders to do whatever is necessary in order to see that things are done rightly. That does not mean that bishops have despotic, tyrannical authority. Bishops are superintendents, and they cannot do this by example. They are the presiding officers of the church. Some officers they would be if they had no authority to care for or to oversee the congregation. Officers, yes, but not in the sense of the political positions of the world or the Gentile world. The word office is used in connection with elders in 1 Timothy chapter 3. But the verse goes on to explain that by office is meant the work or the function. The word office of elder or bishop is the work, the function of service that is being done. Then you have the word pastor. Thayer says that it's a herdsman, especially a shepherd, the presiding officer, manager, director of any assembly of Christ, the head of the church, of the overseers of Christian assemblies. Thayer says to feed means to tend the flock, keep the sheep, to rule, to govern of rulers, of the overseers, pastors of the church. And again, Vine says essentially the same thing. Words either have meaning or they do not. If they have meaning, then we need to understand what those words mean and determine what is being said. With words not having meaning, then there's no understanding, and we can never come to any understanding of what the Holy Spirit has to teach concerning the rule of elders. My Freed Hardeman College classmate, J. Lockhart, wrote in Spiritual Sword some time back. He said, based upon the text, that is 1 Peter 5:2, some brethren have taken the position that elders have no authority and can lead only by example. Being an example is an important attribute of elders, 1 Peter 5:3. But we should not overlook the fact that every command of God carries with it the authority to do whatever is necessary in obeying that command. Since elders are to be overseers, they have the authority to do whatever is necessary in overseeing, that is, seeing that things are done rightly, being guardians of souls and watching over souls. A number of years ago, Brother Charles Holt left North Alabama and moved to Texas. And when he did, one of the things that he started doing was publishing in his bulletin some articles or material that I had not seen or had been aware of from the pen of Brother Homer Haley. And basically was the idea that elders ruled only by example. Charles not only taught that, but he went on to say that there was no such thing as elders, there was no such thing as a church, there was no such thing as a church treasury, that we did not have a correct translation of the scriptures, that the Lord's Supper could be observed on any other day, that instrumental music could be used in worship, that there was a leadership role for women in the church. And he played around even with Olin Hicks's ideas on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. He edited two papers, The Sentinel of Truth and The Examiner, that fostered these views. I want to quote a few quotations from a couple of brethren that set forth in their words exactly what they have to say about this matter of ruling by example only. Brother Homer Haley has published his views on elders in a book, Comments, of Volume 2. And Brother Haley said their rule is guidance through moral persuasion. Their rule was to be oversight by example. In the realm of judgment or opinion, an elder has no authority more than any other individual or congregation. The elder's influence is exerted by moral suasion. He says the rule of elders is in the realm of faith, which is just the opposite of where they rule. He says when men have been made overseers by the Holy Spirit, Acts 20:28, and duly appointed by the church to that duty, one rebels against God when he rebels against them. How does one rebel against an example? Let the watchman warn, he says, the wicked who go astray, and with a firm hand and in a positive manner discipline them, that they will be less within the church of that which is appointed with scorn by those outside, and there will be a holier disposition on the part of faithful members to overlook in many deficiencies in their qualification. A firm hand and in a positive manner certainly implies more than example. Reading these statements, it appears to me that there are two different concepts set forth by Brother Haley. One time he has elders ruling by example only, and another time he has by a firm hand. It can't be both, brethren. Which is it? Closely associated with Brother Haley was Brother Clinton Hamilton at Florida College. And Brother Hamilton had somewhat to say about the rule of elders in a discussion with the Sowers Club back in 1966. And I have a copy of the tape of his speech to the Sowers Club, and I also have a copy of the tape where Brother H.E. Phillips was asked by the Sowers Club to reply or have somewhat to say about what Brother Haley had to say. Brother Hamilton had to say. In his presentation on the rule of elders, Brother Hamilton emphasized that elders watch for souls and matters of a physical nature, like who is cutting the grass at the meeting house or what color the paint is, has nothing whatsoever to do with a soul. Brother Hamilton went on to say that the only time elders can tell me what to do is what the Word of God says. He further said that an elder only can use moral suasion. When he gets through with this, he doesn't have anything. If an elder can only tell you what the Word of God has to say, I suggest to you that a knowledgeable 16-year-old young man can tell you what the Word of God has to say. In more recent years, Brother Dale Smeltzer has had somewhat to say about the rule of elders. And trying to nail down specifically what Dale's position is on this question is very, very difficult. Brother Smeltzer uses the word authority in relation to the rule of elders to mean whatever authority he is willing to say elders have. And then he uses authority or authoritarian to mean despotic, tyrannical, arbitrary, ruling overlords. One time, elders have authority. At another time, they don't have any authority. Which way is it? He wrote, elders must not act with the authority of a boss or board of directors, making all the decisions and opposing them by announcement. Those who advocate that misunderstood the elders' rule. Now, who believes that? He doesn't tell us. Brother Smeltzer goes on to say, lording over the flock and being authoritarian are the same things. Elders lording over the flock, no elders being over the flock, overseeing the flock, yes. Brother Smeltzer says, Jesus forbade exercising of dominion and authority by some over others in the kingdom. And he goes on to say that he's hung up on this word of authority for elders. He says the only thing that Jesus prohibited is authority. Brother Schmelzer does not believe that elders are limited by ruling by example only. He said, elders leading by example only is not my view. But I want to look before our time is gone and spend the most of the time, and you can read the rest of it. I'm not following the manuscript necessarily, but it's all documented, as Connie suggested there, very well. But I want to look at what the New Testament teaches, because that's really what we ought to be concerned about. What does the Bible say? Not what Brother Haley thinks, not what Brother Smelter thinks, not what Brother Hamilton thinks, not what I think, not what you think. What does the Word of God have to say? I want to look at these passages that we mentioned earlier again. In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul told the Ephesian elders, "To take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood." The passage teaches that those that are designated as elders were told by the Apostle Paul that they were over the flock. Where is the passage that teaches some other arrangement is over the flock of God? God put elders over the flock of God. I want to know what passage in the New Testament teaches that there's some other arrangement than elders over the flock of God. Brethren need to stop this double talk and playing the cat and mouse game with words and with the Word of God and with good brethren. Such doesn't do anything but just confuse people. Of the word bishop, Thayer says, an overseer, a man charged with duty of seeing that things to be done by others are done rightly, is the overseer of any Christian church. How does he do things rightly? Just by setting a good example. How does one oversee anything? By just a good example. Thayer goes on to say, to look upon, to inspect, to look after, to care for. How does one inspect by example? When the inspector from the Department of Agriculture inspects meat, does he do it by just setting a good example that he's a proper citizen in the community? Would you want to eat the meat he inspected by just being an example of a model citizen in the community? We all know that there's more to it than that. And brethren are foolish to play this little game of cat and mouse in regard to elders overseeing the church. They ought to be ashamed of themselves to bring such foolishness and straining at definitions of words to make the New Testament teach something that the Holy Spirit never intended for the Holy Spirit to teach. Brethren, think in terms of elders, pastors, bishops, ruling in the church of God, and the only thing that they can think of is an arbitrary boss, a dictator, a despot, tyrannical ruler, an overlord, an ironclad boss like those of the Gentile world. They are not thinking in terms of New Testament teaching. They need to get their act together and stop acting as brethren decide that that's what the elders do. Secondly, in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 4 and 5, the text says, "One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" The Holy Spirit makes ruling well one's own house equal with taking care of the church of God. An elder does not rule his own house only by example, and neither does he do it by consensus. Many a man has ruled his own house when other members of the house were in total disagreement with what he has done or is doing. When such happens, that doesn't mean that he's being a dictator or a despot over his own house. It means that he recognizes his responsibility to lead, to rule, to guide the house, and is doing so for the very good of his family. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17, the text says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." Do elders rule well? Demonstrate that by setting a better example than the elder who just rules? How does an elder rule by consensus? In in Titus chapter 1 and in verse 7, the text says, "For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed." Of self-will, Vine says, self-pleasing. It denotes one who dominates by self-interest and is inconsiderate of others, arrogantly asserts his own will. He's self-willed. When an elder is not a self-willed person, he will not be a tyrant, a despotic individual. The Holy Spirit knew how to weed out those individuals before it ever came to a problem. If brethren would just follow the teaching of the Holy Spirit, a lot of our problems would be eliminated before they ever had time to surface. In Hebrews chapter 13, "Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith followed, considering the end of their conversation. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable unto you." Here are three verses in Hebrews 13 that says somebody has the rule over somebody else. Because these verses do not specifically mention elders, some have concluded that elders are not under consideration. This is a very convenient position to take. By taking such a position, they eliminate elders being over the church. However, some use these verses to show that elders are just over the souls of Christians and not over the work of the church. By so doing, they admit that there's ones that are over others, and that is elders. Other word, rule, Thayer says, to be a leader, to rule, command, to have authority. Other word, rule, in Hebrews 13, the Presbyterian commentator James McKnight says something that I would have thought brethren would have read, digested, and understood, but evidently some of them haven't. McKnight said, though the word ruler properly signifies a ruler, our commander, we should recollect that the authority of Christian bishops and pastors of whom the apostle is speaking is not the same kind with that of civil rulers, being founded not on force but on the fidelity with which they discharge their duty of their function and in the esteem and affection of the flock. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2. Peter says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre's sake, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being as an example to the flock." Here they are to take the oversight of the flock. Preachers can argue all they want to about when all is said and done, they still have some people who are over others. Who are these people who are over others? The text says that they, the elders. Some brethren try to use 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2 and tie it with the expression, neither being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock, with a statement of Jesus in Matthew chapter 20. Jesus said, you know that the rulers of the Gentile lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whosoever desire to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoso desire to be first among you, let him be your a slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. The first thing that needs to be pointed out is that Jesus was not speaking these words in the connection of the rule of elders of a New Testament church. The second thing that needs to be noticed is that Jesus spoke these words regarding controversy among the disciples as to who would be greatest in the kingdom of God. And the third thing that needs to be pointed out is that the kind of lording done by the Gentiles is not the same kind of ruling that elders of the New Testament church do. When some brethren have done is they have presumed, assumed, and asserted that the New Testament elders rule the church like the Gentile lords ruled. It's one thing to make the charge, it's another thing to prove it. Brethren who have charged others with defending despotical, tyrannical rule of elders should be ashamed of themselves for misrepresenting their brethren over something that has caused so much unrest. The authority that the eldership has is not to make laws for the kingdom of God. The law of God has been settled in heaven, Psalms 119, verse 89. Elders cannot formulate some creed for faith and morals to which brethren bow. They do not have the power to change God's plan on anything. They cannot change the worship or the organization of the church or pervert the function of the church. Brethren are to submit only as they submit themselves and their rule to the authority of Christ. Consensus, which is just another name for majority rule or democracy within the church, puts matters concerning the church in the hands of those who are untaught in the Word of God, therefore ignorant of the Word of God, for the most part, the inexperienced, the untrained, and the fleshly and carnally minded individuals. We need to recognize that God has appointed elders over His church, and that we need to submit ourselves to them. Godly men are not going to be despotic. They're not going to be tyrannical. And if they try to, they become unqualified as elders. And just as the congregation put them in, the congregation has the need to take them out because they have abused their position in the kingdom of God. I trust that these things have been beneficial to you. I have not tried to read the documentation. The documentation's in the book, and you can pursue that at your leisure when you have time. I appreciate your kind attention. Thank you.